Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, how could it possibly be unlucky to be given a free airline ticket every year on your birthday? And 1 in 10 travelers say yes to sex in the airport. We have the tawdry details.
At 3:20 in our Make You a Smarter Traveler segment, Mark tells you what you want to avoid touching on the airplane.
Including the person next to you. At 3:35, Gwen Duncan joins us to talk Cuba travel and the once-in-a-decade passion play in Germany.
And at 3:50, we give you a great preview of the food entertainment attractions at this year's California State Fair. It opens this Friday.
We thank you for taking time out of your busy Sunday to include the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Sakes, we're back. We're here again. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. It's a Sunday afternoon, a little after 3 o'clock, and yes, it's another edition of the Travel Guys radio show, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and to be completely accurate, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark, welcome to the program. I hope you had a wonderful week.
Hey, I did. I was mostly around this good old Sacramento this week, so that's kind of a nice thing. And next week, I get to go and take a group to see Tony Bennett in concert at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be fun. Now, first, let me ask you, were those difficult tickets to get?
Well, no, because if you get them early and you know what you're doing and you have connections, which 38 years in the travel business tends to help that a little bit. Why then? No, our folks have got wonderful seats in the right in the dead center, right down front.
Oh,
so they are going to have they're going to see really truly. I think Tony Bennett fits into the category of American legend at this point. The guy's 90 years old and he's still belting them out on the stage, and he's still leaving his heart in San Francisco on a regular basis. So I think it's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to it. And of course, the Hollywood Bowl is always a lot of fun. We're going out to the Reagan Library. They're having a exhibition on Titanic artifacts. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, yeah. So, a little visit to the farmer's market in Los Angeles. So I'd invite you, but there's no room. Sorry.
Okay. So this would qualify as, you know, one of the sports leisure vacations, kind of regional trips that that you do on a regular basis.
Yes, exactly. We do 3 and 4 day entertainment packages and things like that. So in this case, Tony Bennett at the Hollywood Bowl. We've been looking for an opportunity to see Mr. Bennett since we had him with Jackie Ivanko. Remember the gal that won the what was that, the America's Got Talent thing? And she and him appeared on the stage, and I didn't see it, but the folks who went to it a couple of years ago up at Ironstone Vineyards up in the foothills said it was a spectacular evening of entertainment. Some people said as good as anything that they've ever attended. So the bar is set high for next week, so off we go to the Hollywood Bowl. What have you been doing all week?
Well, let's see. I avoided setting myself on fire or blowing off a finger by not participating in homegrown fireworks. We got out to Rancho Cordova's Hagen Park to see, which has to be, you hear them mention this on the radio or talk about it in publicity, the best fireworks show in Northern California. Now, nothing against the folks across the street here at Cal Expo, but they kind of look, you know, at you with a crooked eye, saying, "Yeah, that can't possibly be true. You're in Rancho Cordova. What kind of a fireworks show could you have that could outdo Cal Expo?" I can tell you on the 4th of July, that's when they have the big one, over 20 minutes of some of the best orchestrated fireworks next to, let's say, a Disney fireworks show in the Disney park is what I observed this past week. So I'm still oohing and aahing over what a spectacular show it was.
I happen to be driving down Coloma Road about, 5:30 or something like that on the 4th of July, and the parking lines, good Lord, cars were lined up, I'd say a half a mile down the street in each direction, and they were quickly parking people on the football field and everywhere they could find there. So it looked like they had a huge crowd.
The crowd was bigger than I've ever seen it, and I have been in and out of that park for nearly 30 years for fireworks and shows. Of course, they do have the carnival and such in the park, and then they have the bands and so forth, but truly, I guarantee to you, this was the largest crowd and the best fireworks show so far.
Wow, that's a pretty big endorsement. You have seen a lot of them, so I would say that's a big thumbs up from Mr. Romano there.
In 30 years or more, I've only missed one, and that was the year I went to see The Who. Out at the time, I think it might have been the Sleep Train Amphitheater there up in the Marysville area. That was the only reason I missed the 4th of July, was to see the incredible Who that for a rare moment came anywhere close by. By the way, you can follow along with everything that we talk about here on the Travel Guys at TravelGuysRadio.com. And as we always do at the top of each Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Okay, Mark, what do we have today? What's going on in the world of travel?
Well, we have got, for those folks who belong to frequent flyer programs for the airlines, let's quickly run down. I have got a plethora of stuff today. United changed their award program, or is going to change it in November. We mentioned that last week. Basically, what you need to know is that their everyday awards, which used to cost a maximum of 25,000 miles per direction, will now cost a maximum of, they're called standard awards now, will cost a maximum of 32,000 miles. There are a couple of shorter excursions will cost a little bit less in terms of miles to what they used to be, but any type of long distance ticket could be priced up to almost 30% more mileage wise. So that's not good news for folks who fly United Airlines. So you say, well, I fly American or I fly Alaska and I love being able to get American benefits off of my Alaska ticket or Alaska benefits off my American ticket. No, that's ending too. Starting the 1st of next year, American will now only give you credit for an Alaska flight if it's a code share flight that they have a flight number on, and you'll want to look at the chart. I'm not going to go into great detail here, but the reality is that the credit you are going to get is going to be severely reduced if you fly on American and want Alaska benefits. Up until now, the two airlines have been fairly interchangeable, but with Alaska acquiring Virgin America, you can see that this is not, and with Delta moving into Alaska's hub, this is why they're basically saying to Alaska, well, you can go it on your own now. You fly Delta Airlines, you say? Well, there's a kind of sort of some good news here. Delta says that you can fly today and borrow miles and pay them back later. You have 6 months in order to earn back the borrowed miles. Now, you can't earn them by flying. You can only earn them by credit card spend. And if you don't earn them all back in 6 months, they will charge you the courteous price of 2.5 cents per mile. That's a ridiculous rate for every borrowed mile that remains outstanding. So if you're a little short on your miles, you can borrow them from Delta. And if you spend enough money on your credit card, you will be able to pay them back that way. But beware of the fact that if you have to pay them back on your own, 2.5 cents a mile is a very ridiculous amount of money. And finally, in the frequent flyer program, if you're a member of JetBlue's True Blue program, you can get 3,000 miles for signing up for Amazon's Prime service. Let's see, a couple of other airline notes here. United is expanding its in-flight menu to include Pizzeria Uno.
Okay.
Deep dish Chicago pizza. If they can pull that off at 35,000 feet, I would definitely be a fan.
That might be the perfect way to get the perfect food, because provided they have an oven, mm-hmm. You can bring it on. It's still ready to go. You keep it refrigerated, and then you have freshly cooked pizza on the plane. Do you think they're going to fire up the ovens, or is this going to be preheated microwave.
No, it's going to be, I think it'll be served to you hot. You know, they're serving cheeseburgers and stuff like that on United Airlines now. So it won't be inexpensive. You're in the sky, but then again, you're not going to walk down to Pizza Hut and see what they're charging while you're on the airplane either. Speaking of United Airlines, numbers are in for the month of May in terms of denied boarding. Now, remember in April, the doctor in Louisville got dragged off the plane. United promised that they were going to do a better job of bumping people involuntarily. And apparently that is exactly what happened. In 2017, United cut down a whopping 79% on involuntary denied boardings.
Just goes to show what you can do when you care and you try.
Yes, that's exactly. Extremely good point, Mr. Romano. Let's see. They have come up with some new super thin airline seats. I have a picture of them. You can go to travelguysradio.com and see them. It's basically looks like sitting on a piece of cardboard. They call them Vision 2030 seats, and they are less than half the thickness of your typical airline meal tray.
It's not the meal tray we're talking about. It's talking about the seat.
You're talking about the seat. We were just using that as a little bit of an example to give you an idea of how thick the seat isn't. And the new ones are already not all that comfortable. But anyways.
They still got padding on them?
Well, there is a little tiny pad on the seat. The emphasis on the little and tiny. Tom, I mentioned back in the headlines, I'm sure that one or two people caught it, about a survey which says that 1 in 10 flyers, when asked about airport sex, now we're not talking about up in the sky now, we're talking on the ground in the airport, 1 in 10 people say they have had a sexual encounter at the airport. Does that surprise you at all?
Yes, it surprises me quite a bit. I'm kind of going through all the places that you might be able to try to pull that off in an airline. And I'm not, I suppose you would be better to judge this because you've been at...
because I've been in more airports.
Thank you very much. That's exactly where I was going.
Thanks, I think. All right, so do you want to know where the folks say these encounters took place?
Yes, I would.
Yes. 40. This is a little bit surprising. 42% said in a public restroom.
No,
I've never gone into a restroom and seen a lady and a man in a stall, but now I'm going to start paying a lot more attention. 28% said in a storage area. 14% said under a coat. And 12% said in a VIP lounge. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Most popular places if you're going to get hooked up in the airport before you. That will not qualify you, however, for the Mile High Club.
No, that won't work.
No, it won't. It will qualify you for the Ground High Club. Let's see here. Ritz-Carlton plans to upgrade the cruising experience. Ritz-Carlton is building the Ritz-Carlton Yacht Collection.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a modest 600 feet long, fitted with just 149 suites, each with a private balcony and a couple of penthouse suites. So now you can not only stay in a Ritz-Carlton hotel on the land, but you can enjoy the luxury, perhaps, of Ritz-Carlton on a small ship cruise. And I'm just going to tell you, Tom, the way to go, the small ships are so much of a better idea than the large ones.
Well, you know, everybody that we've had on, that we've interviewed and we've talked to, really like that small ship experience. Not to take anything away from the the big cruise ships, but
You can. I think the big cruise ships are kind of a lot of them are an example of a McDonald's in the ocean. I mean, the quality of the food, the quality of the service, the quality of the everything. I'm a experienced traveler. If you can pick off some of the better cruise lines and stuff, and things are above that, but a lot of it has become so generic. It's become America's inexpensive vacation, and boy, they have really figured out ways to just goose the hell out of you once you get on board. Okay, anyways, a couple of other quick notes here before we wrap up the travel news. The Hotel Del Coronado is joining Hilton's Curio Collection. You will be able to use your Hilton points to stay at the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego. I think that's a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we alluded to this in the headlines, and this is kind of interesting. A baby was born on a Spirit Airlines flight. This has been a little over a week ago. And so Spirit Airlines said, in a clever bit of marketing, they said, well, how about if we'll give the baby a free, the baby's name is Christoph, we'll give Christoph a free trip every year on his birthday. And normally you would think, wow, that's a great deal. Every year on his birthday, this guy is going to be able to go someplace cool. Except the problem is he's going to have to fly on Spirit Airlines. And good luck to him. I'm sure when he calls Spirit 2 or 3 months in advance, they will tell him that, unfortunately, there are no voucher seats available on your birthday, sir. Perhaps you'd like to go on your birthday 3 or 4 years from now. Anyways, I just thought that was kind of humorous. That's your travel news for today.
All right. Coming up after a short break, going to make you a smarter traveler. Mark has a great list of things to not touch on an airplane. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, The Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations on the radio. Thanks for joining us, sticking through a short break there, because I know you want to find out things not to touch on an airplane. First of all, Mark, thanks for bringing this information to us to make us smarter travelers. And is this from personal experience, or did you find this list someplace special?
I found the list someplace, but I found several of these lists over the years. And this was the first one that I really sort of agreed with. I thought these are folks who went and they measured the number of CFUs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, careful. CFUs, those are colony forming units.
Okay.
That's what those are known as.
Yeah.
So we have the 6 dirtiest places that came up when Travel Math did their little survey. They went in with their gadgets and measured all of the CFUs on different things that were on airplanes, particularly in the lavatory, but also some other places. What do you think? Let me just ask you before I start the list here. What do you think is the dirtiest thing to touch on an airplane?
I was hoping you would ask, because I think I can get this one. I would say the drop-down tray.
Okay. All right. So let's go over this, and we'll see if you're right. These are the 6 things that are the dirtiest surfaces on airplanes, and they counted in airports, although it looks as though all of the things that made the top 6 here are all things that you will find on the plane.
Yeah. Okay. What order are we going to go in here?
We're going to go from the bottom to the top. So this is the 6th dirtiest.
Least.
The way up to the one you really... Yeah, the least of the 6, so to speak.
Okay.
So bathroom, the lock on the bathroom door.
Okay.
So you're going into the bathroom, and you have to grab the door. You have no choice but to do that and go in. And now when you go in, you have to lock the door. And it's that lock that is the dirty item. Okay, now we're going to have a couple suggestions here when we get done. So let me move along quickly here. The seatbelt buckles are 3 times as dirty as the bathroom stall lock. Perhaps because some people have washed their hands before they touch the stall lock, but 3 times as dirty. 4 times as dirty, the flush button on the lavatory toilet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would
5
think.
Times as dirty, the overhead air vent adjust. You know, you're reaching up there to touch overhead vent, and so that's one. Now we're going to jump up. This is 20 times as dirty as the bathroom stall locks. This is the one that would be in the airport and not on the plane. Drinking fountain buttons.
No boy.
So if you're going to go, we'll run back over these in just a minute, but at the top of the list, the dirtiest surface on an airplane or at an airport, you win the prize, Mr. Romano. It is indeed the tray table that drops down.
Yeah.
The tray table is 30 times dirtier than the bathroom stall lock. 30 times. It has almost twice as many CFUs, colony-forming units, bacterial units, as the drinking fountain button does in the airport. So the one thing that you do not want to touch on the airplane is that tray table. Unless you maybe took a wet wipe with you, and you took it down, and before you started doing whatever it is you're going to do there, lay your head on it to rest, or your arms on it, or your computer, or your work, or whatever, you just wiped it down a little bit. Here's a suggestion for the bathroom stuff on the airplane, the flush button and the stall lock. You
elbow.
Get done doing your business
use
in the bathroom.
Use your elbow. Yeah, that's the same thing I use.
How are you going to get your elbow down to where that flush button
is? And then I also use my elbow to turn the drinking fountain on to. No, you can't do that. All right, go ahead.
I have a better idea.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a better idea.
All right.
You wash your hands, right?
Yes.
You do wash your hands. Please tell me that you wash your hands.
I do, quite frequently.
Okay. I mean, those sinks are awfully tiny in the bathroom, and then you're going to slop a little bit, but it's better to slop and get it clean. You wash your hands. Now you take out a towel and you dry your hands. Before you throw that towel away, there are three things you can do. Hit the flush button using the towel. Unlock the door using the towel. And grab the little doorknob thing there using the towel. Open the door, now throw the towel away. You have just avoided touching three of the dirtiest surfaces on the airplane. If you did that, you brought a wet wipe to wipe down the tray with you, which, interestingly enough, this word must be getting out, because I now see people pretty regularly, mostly women, admittedly, but pretty regularly wiping down the tray table on an airplane. Maybe that's because the women know what may have happened there, like the diaper change or whatever else that was kind of marginal. But if you are going on an airplane, take a wet wipe with you to do the tray table, and make sure when you use the restroom that you do something else. And if you must touch the button on the drinking fountain in the airport, do it with something beside your finger.
Well, I'll tell you,
that will make you a much smarter traveler.
There you go, boy. And not only that, you might actually get you to and back from your destination without saying, why is it that I always get ill when I travel? Now, my wife is, she's the smart one. She brings the mm-hmm. wipes for the tray and so forth, and she'll wipe it down and she'll hand it to me, and we'll clean off our trays, and then you'll see somebody, you know, across the aisle, and they won't wipe it down. And this is the part that really surprises you. You know, they'll give mm-hmm. you your complimentary peanuts and your drink and whatever, and inevitably someone will lose a peanut. They'll lose a peanut onto that tray. They'll reach down, pick up that peanut, and you know where it goes, right in their mouth. And you say, oh, boy, I hope you enjoyed that.
I've seen people.
Those CFIs or whatever they're called.
I've seen people dump the peanuts on the tray table and eat them off the tray table. So, yeah, exactly. So anyways, making you a smarter traveler when you get to the airport. We are the Travel Guys. Coming up next, Gwen Duncan is going to join us to talk about a couple of international destinations, Cuba and the Passion Play, which held every 10 years in Germany. We are the Travel Guys.
Welcome, everyone. You have the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here every week to make you a smarter traveler. Once again, you can follow along with everything we talk about here on the radio on this program at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark?
Hey, Thomas. We have Gwen Duncan here with us. And Gwen has a couple of important, let's call them both international topics, shall we? They're kind of different. They're not kind of different. They're very, very different. The first one that we're going to talk about here is a special event that happens in Germany in a small town every 10 years. If you're a veteran traveler, you've heard of the Passion Play in Oberammergau. And you got to say that. I have to say
Oberammergau.
Oberammergau.
Okay. Wow. Oberammergau.
Huma. Yeah. Well, okay. That's you take your gal and I'll take mine. So this is a Passion Play. That's performed every 10 years. It's going to be performed in 2020. And folks will say, well, it's only 2017. Why would I plan 3 years ahead? But this is something that you have to plan for 3 years ahead. It's kind of an interesting story about how this little town got to where they do this special event every 10 years. And they've been doing it for a while.
Yes, it started in the 1600s, actually 1630s. And the plague had happened, of course, all over the world. But in Germany, there was a pledge that they would do this play every 10 years if they would be rid of the bubonic plague.
Yeah, that's it.
And so they have kept to that with very few exceptions. And it's done with every year that starts with a zero, so it's every 10. There are some exceptions that happen with world wars and stuff, but for the most part, it's every 10 years. And the one that's coming up, 220, is something that you have to start booking now, because it only runs for just about 9 weeks, yep. 8 weeks. And the tour operators have exclusive, they have to get in there early to get good seats, mm-hmm. as well as good lodging opportunities. Otherwise, you're going to drive.
It's a small town. There aren't a lot of hotels. So a lot of the housing is in people's homes, and these are people who have done this in many cases before.
Yes.
Their town turns into a tourist attraction.
The entire town participates in the play.
And it, as the actors and actresses and as the hosts and all of the stuff that goes on. So what we want to enforce to folks here today is that if you're thinking about going to this, you can already contact tour operators, and we are encouraging you to start contacting tour operators because packages are currently available. Now, this is not something that my company is going to offer, but I'm sure Cordially Yours Travel is going to have. Do you already have some packages available?
No, in fact, I'm doing that on Monday and Wednesday of this next week. I've got a couple of tour operators who are very good.
Now, is this the first time that Cordially Yours has put together this package, Gwen?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I've sold individual ones, but
it's going to be a lot of work involved in pulling all the pieces together for this.
Well, the tour operator usually does most of that work.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just choosing the right ones.
Gwen is sitting next to a tour operator here. So yes. Gwen is a travel agent who generally oftentimes works with other travel planners like cruise lines and tour operators and things like that.
And then we know the ones that are good, the ones that have seats and best tickets and stuff. So you got to book early and let us know when you're ready.
If you're going to spend $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 or more to go internationally to see this special play, then you want to get good seats and you want to have good accommodations, whether they're in-home accommodations or they are some of the few commercial accommodations that are available in town, or in some cases, people stay 50 or 100 miles away.
That's right.
Come in for the play, which is a 5-hour production. It takes, you see part of it, you have a meal break, you go back and see more of it. So it's kind of a cultural immersion in this small town. I've been told by folks who have seen the play that you don't have to be highly religious to enjoy yourself, but if you're an atheist, you're probably going to the wrong spot.
Bingo.
Many of the play productions are in German. I have understood that there are a couple of them in English, but or that there are subtitles. And so it's a very unique project. So if you're going to go, you want to, Gwen, are you going to have some contacts for people to be able to?
Yes, I'll be putting this on my website too. And as soon as I have my group, I've got a link on my website for groups, and you'll be able to check and see. And it goes over several weeks, and so I may have two groups. So if people can't make one, then they can make
one. So if you're interested, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we will have a link to Gwen's stuff. And probably to a couple of other informational websites there. So at travelguysradio.com, you can find that information. Second international subject here is President Trump decided to roll back some of President Obama's unrestricted travel to Cuba. President Obama made it easier for people to go on an individual basis. President Trump feels that a lot of the benefits of tourism are going to the regime in Cuba, which is true.
It is true.
And is a legitimate concern.
It is.
Whether or not what he has chosen to do is the right thing to do, I have my doubts, but it's political. One man did one thing, one man is doing another thing. What it means for folks who are going to Cuba is that things have changed a little bit. We've already seen about 70% of the air service that had started up for Cuba has been pulled. And one of the reasons probably, Gwen, is because the president now has made it much more difficult for an individual to travel to Cuba.
Yes, yes. Now, the companies that have business presently booked, it's not going to affect those travelers.
Right.
But the individuals that want to go, and the stuff I've been keeping up with says that if they're planning on going independently in September or so, as an example, as soon as those things become effective, then those people will be out of luck.
Yeah. As soon as the rules are written, which supposedly they're supposed to come out sometime this month, but we don't know that that will necessarily happen. But as soon as those rules come out, everybody who's traveling individually will be impacted by that. People who are traveling with a tour operator under the people-to-people things, not so much. But even the people who are traveling with a tour operator may find that some of what the president has said is that you may be asked for your travel documents up to 5 years after you've traveled to Cuba now, as an opportunity to be able to, for the government to be able to make sure that the reason that you went there and that the benefits were not too heavily to the regime. And Clayton Whitehead, who went down to Cuba, came back and reported this very thing, that his concern was how much of this is really benefiting the people. So
And I went twice last year.
Uh-huh.
Something. But the tour operators will keep the documentation for you if the government should ask.
Yes, Tom has his hand raised.
Yes.
Well, that's the only way I can get attention around here. I'll sneak in between you two guys. By the way, we're visiting with Gwen Duncan with Cordially Yours Travel here on the Travel Guys. Gwen, how about cruises? Are they going to be affected in any way that so far that you can tell?
This is interesting. I checked with Cruise Line Industry Association, and they're still reevaluating because they've got to see the documents as they're written, you know, as they're going to be solidified. I believe it is going to impact certain vendors and locations on site, like in Havana and stuff, because if it's a government, I mean, if it's a military-owned facility, then there are going to be some major changes. They may have to replan some of
the military and the government, Tom, in Cuba. Well, as it probably is in most countries, are basically the same thing. And what's happening is the military owns a lot of the tourism facilities. So the money you're spending is benefiting the regime in Cuba, which many people, even those who are happy about traveling to Cuba, are not real happy with. So the president has a point here. You can argue whether or not this is the way to go about it or not, but certainly the fact that not all of the dollars that are being spent in Cuba are helping the people there, although my understanding is that people in Cuba are being allowed to have more independent small business opportunities, which in some cases will, in other words, they can create products to sell to tourists and which is kind of a capitalistic sort of concept, and they're able to keep those monies and those profits. And so if the tourists go away, they won't be able to do that.
Well, they're not keeping all of them. Ron and I went twice.
Uh-huh.
And both times we checked. One time we went to just the government-owned restaurants.
Okay.
And the other one we went to just private restaurants. And we saw all kinds of interesting things. Yes, they can make soaps and they can sell them at the markets.
Uh-huh.
But they have to give a lot of that to the government, you know,
really?
Back to the government. And we went to a marketplace that they had a lot of the same things. It's kind of like going to Roseville auction. You know, you're going to see a lot of different booths that have different things. They're all similar, or they're carrying the same products. But there are people who are doing things like in their garages, they're putting up bakeries because that's one of the lists. They only have 12 things that they can do independently, driving a taxi, you know, selling in this market, making bakery and foods, or owning a restaurant. They can now have more than 50 seats. They can only have one location. So there's a lot of real strict things for them, and it's going to affect them because it'll be lesser people.
Ah, okay. You know? So so the Cuba thing, which I guess people who stepped in and took advantage of the opportunity to go, and the other thing is that many of the people who were dying to go have gone. So the demand for Cuba has certainly fallen off before even the president did this. But now it's going to make it, the bottom line is it's going to make it a lot harder for you to go to the island as an individual traveler, but you will still be able to buy tour packages, which will give you an opportunity to be able to go, whether or not, and those packages, you kind of be careful because not every Cuba package is created the same.
That's
my
right.
own company offered several trips to Cuba. Chris Galloway escorted them, and we did a rather upscale type of package. It cost quite a bit more, but it was a much better accommodations, better food, better opportunities when you were there. There are lesser priced packages, but now you're not going to be able to travel as an individual. You're going to have to travel with a group, and that's going to make it, traveling with a group is different from traveling as an individual, especially when you're in a country where your movements are restricted. All right, Gwen Duncan here. Say that again for me.
Abaramagal.
Yeah, okay. I'm not even going to try again. And Cuba, two really interesting international destinations. Go to travelguysradio.com and you can find some more information. Thank you, Ms. Duncan, from Cordially Yours Travel.
Thank
for
you,
your
Mark
time
and Tom.
Today.
Well, all right. Next on the Travel Guys, California State Fair, less than a week away. Time to sit down with the media director, Darlene Givens, and find out what's new at this year's State Fair. That's next on the Travel Guys. Welcome to the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And each year, about this time, it's our honor to bring in whoever might be the media director for the California State Fair to talk about the entertainment and all that's happening here in our Golden State. And this year it is, you might recognize the name. I know you had recognized the beautiful face from all those years on Channel 10 as a meteorologist, Darla Gibbons. Darla, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Mark.
Wow, I'm so disappointed. I thought he was introing me there for a second, but damn.
Well, all of that goes for Mark, too. Yeah. Darla, okay, State Fair is not far away. First of all, give us the run dates, the times, and a preview of this year's State Fair.
Well, we have lots going on, and we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the California State Fair at Cal Expo. So that's been its home for the past 50 years. California State Fair, lots of things going on this year. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the California State Fair at the Cal Expo location. It starts Friday, July 14th, and runs through July 30th.
Wow. I have 50 years at Cal Expo?
50 years at Cal Expo. This is the 164th State Fair, though. This
is a little bit scary. I have a quick story here.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I was there the day it opened.
Were you really?
I was. Governor Reagan was there.
Yeah.
And gave the speech. There were maybe 150 people standing outside the front gate. And I had taken a city bus to Arden Fair.
Oh my goodness. I would
have been 12 years old. And for some reason, I just decided that going to the opening of the California State Fair seemed like a cool thing to do. And then when I got there and there was nobody basically there, I was like, wow, I guess I wasted my time. But no, Governor Reagan gave an opening speech. And the gates went open, and so I was one of the first people into paid entries into the fairgrounds 50 years ago.
That's cool. That is.
So what does it cost?
Awesome.
What does it cost to get in now? It cost $4 back then.
Really? Did it really? Oh my goodness! Do you have pictures of back then?
I actually do have. They were taken with an Instamatic camera, and I might be able to find them.
If you can find it, put it in the time capsule. We're going to have a time capsule this year, and it's going to open in 2067. Do you think you'll be around then?
Okay.
No, I won't. But but there might not be too many pictures of that opening day because there weren't that many people there.
Well, if you could find your picture, that would be great.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can do that. So anyway, fast forwarding 50
yes.
years. To this year's State Fair, and food is always a big thing at the fair, Darla. I mean, it's deep fried Twinkies and all of those things. We're practically born at State Fairs. So what can people expect this year, do you know anything about the foodstuffs?
Of course I do. We have our typical fair favorites like the corn dogs and also the turkey legs that you get there. Mm-hmm. But this time we also have some variety for vegan folks as well. And on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 11 o'clock until 4 p.m., we have $2 tastes. So each vendor will have like a small sample of what they're serving. And for $2, you get that sample, you roam around the grounds and eat until your just heart is just content.
How cool of an idea is that?
It's a great idea. And I know earlier you asked, how much is it to get into the State Fair? Well, prices haven't changed in 9 years. So it's still $10 if you get your tickets now. The discount ticket before July 13th. And then after that, you pay the regular price of $12.
Now, as we're talking pricing, how about parking? Same as usual?
Parking went up just a little because, as I mentioned, the rates have not gone up in 9 years. And the thing about Cal Expo, we're not funded by the state. So we have to generate our own income, and parking is one of those, and it's $15 this year. So instead of raising the price for everybody, we just wanted to one price, load everybody in the car, pay $15, and then get in. But that's why it's important to get your discount tickets now.
There you go. I was just going to say, it's a good reason to have your friends drop you off.
Exactly. And we're going to have bike valets, too, on the weekends.
Okay.
So if you don't want to drive, you have bike valets. You can bring your bikes and park them there.
Every year, there's always something new.
There is something new. Of course, we have the Sky Ride. It's been there. But this year, we're offering a fast pass for the rides. So you pay $20. You don't have to wait in line. And sometimes those lines get pretty long. Mm-hmm. So for $20, you can buy your fast pass and get on your ride in front of everybody.
And that would be one fast pass that you could use for multiple rides?
For multiple rides the entire day. So you, if you go multiple days of the fair, you need a new fast pass ride for a fast pass band for each day that you're there.
Big name entertainment coming?
Oh, yes. We kick off the 14th with Sheila E. She's a well-known percussionist around the area. From the Bay Area, she also performed with Prince. She's one of Prince's proteges. John Michael Montgomery, he's performing that first weekend on Saturday, July 15th. Lita Ford is also performing July 17th. Ozil Motley, it's one of those fusions between Latin music and hip-hop and rock. So they're going to be really cool to watch. Wednesday, July 19th, Brian McKnight is going to be there. So we have something every night. And rounding out the fair on Sunday, July 30th, Melissa Etheridge.
Awesome. The great lineup this year.
Yes.
Darla,
yes?
This is the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio Show. We provide people with tips to make them smarter travelers. So I'm putting the task upon you to make them smarter fairgoers. Some tips on, I don't know, best day to come, where to find shade, where to get water, how to save. Share some.
Make them smarter, smarter fairgoers.
I have a one-stop shop for all of your answers. Download our California State Fair app. It will actually help you line out and plan out your day.
Awesome. Okay.
So you go to castatefair.org. That's where you can download the app or go to for information about the app. And then also on your iPhone or Android, just download the California State Fair app. It will give you locations where you can go to see exhibits, like our dinosaur exhibit. It's Expedition Dinosaur. 16 life-size animatronic dinosaurs will be there roaring and not walking, but moving. It is very interactive.
Well, for all those of you who are listening to us from the hinterlands and wondering why we're talking about the State Fair on a travel show, it's because KFBK's signal goes all over Northern California, and we know that a lot of the people listening to this radio station right now are not in Sacramento, and they will be coming to the State Fair. So now you know to buy your tickets in advance, and I will share with you one important item. If you go to any theme park, state fair, anything like that, and you go in and you're wondering where to go to start with, go as far from the entrance as you can and work your way back to the entrance over the course of the day, and you will be going the exact opposite direction of the crowds. That's if you go early in the day. If you go later in the day, then that doesn't necessarily hold true. But if you're an early in the morning person, go as far, and you're, especially if you're going to rides, go as far from the gate as you can, and then work your way back.